Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. King James. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is amongst you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth, but God who gave the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered, they are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace that is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon. But let every man take heed how we build. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I hide behind your cross, and I trust you for mercy. I trust you for grace to stand strong in the love that you have called us. That you will help me to speak as your true oracle, to speak for the words as you have put them in my heart. That you will grant me utterance into your heart. You will grant me an entrance into the throne, that you will help me and cause me to be strong. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about love. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about love. In that scripture that we just read, you have seen the clear marks of carnality. When you see people who are carnal, there are certain things you look at. Carnal people are not people who don't speak in tongues. In fact, carnal people speak in other tongues. Carnal people prophesy. Carnal people are always in church. A carnal man is different from a natural man. A natural man has the perspective of nature. What he can see and understand are based on the things that he can behold. But a carnal man is someone who is a glorified natural man, because he is born again. He has accepted Jesus into his life, but his perspective is very dangerous. You will hear, let us face the fact. Let us say it as it is. When you begin to hear terms and terminologies such as that, you are hearing the language of the carnal man. God prefers you to be natural, or he prefers you to be spiritual. But when you are carnal, you are like, though you are lukewarm, he can't make eba with you because you are too cold. He can't take a cup of cold water if he needs one. You are practically physically useless to him because you are lukewarm. Most people don't like lukewarm, and you don't like lukewarm, but you expect him to take lukewarm from you. Why and how do people become lukewarm? Most times, it's not in the things that are major. You come into a church and everything is doing fine. It seems like this is the best place to be, but all of a sudden you begin to hear of strife and envies and divisions, and somebody saying, oh, I belong to Eagles camp, I belong to Pastor Bola's camp, and you are beginning to see different dimensions of wisdom, and God is asking, what I have given to you is a dimension of my wisdom, and what I have given to you is another dimension of my wisdom, and there are yet other dimensions of me that you don't know anything about. You cannot build camps on progressive revelations. You cannot build camps. You cannot build monuments. He didn't call us to monuments. He called us to a movement. He didn't ask us to build a tent. He didn't ask us to build a temple. He asked us to build a tent. Tents are significant because they are collapsible. Once you see that God begins to move in another direction, you collapse it and you move. Don't be so caught up in a revelation such that you cannot migrate with God when God begins to say something you didn't think he was interested in. And many of us are caught up and stuck, and we now find that even though God said what he said to us, but we have made statements and blunders that make it difficult for us to transit. And in case you think that Paul and Apollos were just people that are not anybody of consequence, I want you to know that the person who was speaking there was one of the people being mentioned. Please feel free in your journey with God to be able to label yourself as incapable. Don't be too quick to create the impression that you've got it all sorted out. Feel free to admit that you have questions but don't have answers. Feel free to say that your journey in God is still a journey and there are certain things that are not yet fixed. Those are the scars that people will see and they will follow you. People don't want to follow somebody who are in God's problems. People don't want to follow somebody who are in God's scars. People don't want to follow someone who are in where they've been to or who have risen out of what they've come out of. People want to follow real people. People who were down and then they found mercy. People who didn't know what to do, then they found grace. People who fell because, not just because they didn't know, but because they deliberately walked into it and yet they found mercy. People want to find and follow somebody who has seen God. So before you raise the standard, ask, is this a standard? Because many times we tend to raise the bar above what the Lord is raising. And yet that bar is right, but it is not just. Because just is determined by what he is interested in. And many people have been shut out of church. Many people have gotten their greatest mess ups by coming to church because of strife and divisions. I see all these things as fancy word. One word captures it: the absence of love. You would not punch yourself when you go to the boxing ring. You are looking for the opponent. Oh. But do you realize that every time you do not constructively engage your brother, every time you do not engage your brother with the intention to help him, you are throwing a punch in yourself. And God is asking, whoever beats himself in a fight. The devil has concluded on your case that he doesn't have to do so much because he can see that you are set for destruction, because you would rather engage and try to prove your point instead of just letting it go. It doesn't matter. Half of the stuff we bother ourselves about just don't matter. 5 years from now, you will look back and ask yourself, why did I waste my time doing all of that nonsense? It doesn't matter. You are putting your energy in the wrong places. And Paul had to come to this church. In case you don't know the church he was talking to a church that had all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Somebody will be in church and you hear, I see into the heavens, and the Spirit of God begins to cause me to gaze upon His eternal counsels and purpose, and I begin to see into the very heart of God the movements of God for the last days, and you will begin to hear prophesying so strongly. And just when that person is done, you will hear certain tongues in Dalaneva Siha, and there will be direct interpretations by two or three people, and all will be in alignment. And in case you thought that was just it, you will see someone will come out and say, receive your healing, and you will see limbs begin to grow out, and you will see asthma begin to vanish, and then you will say, can it get better? And then you see someone come out with the gift of faith and say, if the Lord speaketh, by this time tomorrow a grain of rice shall be sold for 10,000 naira. And then you say, oh, how is possible? And the next day you are hearing it in the news. This was a gifted church. They don't bluff. When they are talking to you, it's because they have an assurance in God that what they are saying is going to come to pass. But you see, you can't brag about God to God, because the ability to do those things are God. He said, by these things shall men know that you belong to me, when you can stoop so low to love. Let's not be so caught up. The year that we are entering into will be the year of the God lovers. Men, in spite of all, would rather die than prolong their lives in vanity. You've got to begin to see as God sees. There is nothing our God cannot do. Our God is not limited by time. Time cannot stop Him. He made time. There is nothing our God cannot. He is indescribable. You see one side of Him and you think you've got a grasp of Him. Then He shows you another side of Him. You are just thinking, how can somebody be so powerful? And then you look into the house of those who mourn, and He's there sitting with them, weeping with them. God, why? What are you doing here? He said, I would rather dwell with those that mourn than with those that rejoice. I said, then why don't you just do the miracle? Wisdom. He said, you will probably think the best thing to do for these people is to bring the dead to life. But the best thing for them right now is to let that man go. You will find as you relate with him that the greatest treasures of heaven are in wisdoms, because he will begin to build and transmit wisdom to you as you relate with him. He helps deepen your walk with him. How do you know a man that is walking with God? His walk with God keeps getting deeper. Jesus said to that woman, he said, if you drink of the waters that I give to you, he said, you will never thirst again. But she didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Jesus didn't say she won't thirst again. He was saying you will begin to thirst for something else. That river, that well, was symbolic of sustenance. Something that was ancient, that yet passed through time and was sustained. Oh, it was in enemy territories, but it was sustained. And Jesus stayed by the well for just one woman. How many of you realize that the conversion of some of these people that you ignore around you is of eternal consequence? That you get one of them, you have a nation. You get one of them, oh my goodness. I was reading the account of this man who was on the plane, and then the man said, just before he got on the plane, he had had the vision where the Lord told him that he will meet a man with an Islamic name on the plane. And this was what he was to tell the man. The Lord gave him a bio data of the man he was to sit close to. And please don't get too comfortable with God. God is a God of the details. God understands and knows the number of the hair that is upon your head. Not one of it. He is so busy, but not one of it will drop without his attention. If God says don't drop, it doesn't. So you got to understand that God understands details. God is not afraid to tell you stuff, but you have to be in a place you can receive it. That is the place of love. So God said to this man, he said, Roland, when you get on the plane, you're going to meet this man. This is what's wrong with him. He's a businessman and all of that. He said, the catch for this man is he needs to come to Christ. You see that man you are looking at? He has a large family. He's the head of the family. He's the most significant in the family. There are about 300 to 500 people in his family. If we get him, we have 500 people. So God thinks in numbers. God doesn't just do stuff. He does things with intention. God is deliberate. Some of you fall in love like, let's see how it goes. There is no let's see how it goes with God. You've got to know where you are going from the very first place. You can't just check it out. You've got to know. You've got to know. Your heart must be settled upon certain things. You may not have the details, but your heart must be settled about certain things. People have gotten married and in 2 years they lost their partners. People have gotten married and in 3 months it was a divorce. So there is no big deal. It is just one of those things. And the man got on the plane and then he saw Sheikh and the other names. And he started to speak to that man. And the man said, how do you know so much about me? Who are you? He said, oh, the Lord told me I'll meet with you, we'll sit on the same, same row. Then the man started asking some questions. You see, the preparation of the heart is in obedience. Most times we are laboring in areas we have not been sent to. And that is marked by the hardness of the soil. We are trying to get stuff done, but God said, who sent you? So there is a problem of the apostolic mindset in which we are doing stuff just because we are interested, but we are not sent. It is not enough to be interested, you've got to be sent. It is not enough to have passion, you've got to be sent. Many are running without a message. Many are doing stuff because they think you can't think. You've got to be sent. The man gave his life to Christ on that flight, and he said, that was the beginning of revival in an Islamic community. God is a deliberate God. God could have chosen and allowed that man to walk away. But do you know the impact of that one man's decision? Every time you give God an excuse on why you can't do stuff, all he's hearing is, I love you, but you've got to give me some space. That's all he's hearing. It's not what you said, it's what he's hearing. This year, God is looking for God lovers. God is looking for God lovers. God is looking for God lovers. People who are so filled with the love of God that they will rather die than not knowing His love. We can't do church for ourselves. We can't do church by ourselves. When I was growing up, we invited people to church with an intention because we wanted them to have an encounter with God. We wanted them to find God. We wanted them to peradventure something can happen to them. We wanted them to give their life to Christ. We didn't ask people to come to our church to fill our seats. We asked them to come to church because we didn't want them to go to hell, because that was the height of hatred. Right now, we will do everything except the right thing. You use some facial product and it's awesome. Nobody talks to you, but you are willing to talk to somebody else about it. Oh, have you tried this? It's so lovely. It's so wonderful. It works just perfect. It takes away the spots off your face. We put so much effort into things that don't matter. Even the devil is amazed at how such a thing that you can use for 30 minutes, 1 hour, and then you have to wash off before you sleep has become such a big deal. Beautiful ones are not yet born. Keep using it. God must grant us entrance into His heart. Some of these things we speak, we cannot fully understand until the Lord gives us an entrance into His heart. Rick Joyner was in the spirit and he was before the throne of God. And then he saw the Lord and said, Lord, he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I want to know your heart. I want to know you more. And the Lord said, really? Do you really want to know my heart? Then the Lord picked the golden cup that was beside his throne and the Lord put it close to his eyes and he shed some tears into it and said, drink it. Want to know my heart? You will feel it. He said he took the cup. He said, and as he drank of those tears that came from the eyes of the Lord, he said he was engulfed in the passions that were in God's heart. He couldn't bear it. He couldn't bear it, because suddenly you see that for every one soul that drops to the ground, whether through a stray bullet or whether through some form of accident or abuse that is going on somewhere in the world, that thing happened because someone dropped his guard, someone dropped his post, somebody had been sent there. There is nothing that happens that is God unawares. Why you are born is God somewhere assigned to you from the very first time you accepted him into your life. For somebody somewhere gave himself another assignment, chose to do something else. So people are dying in that corner. So every time someone dies in Iraq and in Iran, God is like, oh, because Bola refused to show up. Oh, because Timmy didn't show up. Oh. So you begin to feel his heart for truth. You feel his passion for sincerity and honesty. You begin to feel his heart for the end times. And you begin to wonder, what have we been doing? After that vision, the Lord gave him entrance and he began to speak to Paul the apostle. And he said to Paul, as he spoke to him, he said, Paul, he said, what would you like me to take back to earth? Paul said, go back and tell your people, you must recover the message. You must recover the cross. And the message. You guys say so much stuff that even God doesn't understand, but you must recover the cross. The cross is the emblem of Christ's victory over Satan. The cross is the thing that when it is lifted up as the banner in the spiritual, it tells a story in 1 second, that this was where victory was gotten for us. That if there's anything God will ever do for you, the journey starts in the cross. That if there's any reason why this world will be saved, it is because of what Jesus did. The world despised it, but yes, they will always despise initially. Then a generation will come and begin to celebrate that which was done. Say, oh, if we had known, we would not have killed the prophets. Oh, if we had known, it was but just it was your fathers that killed the prophets. And then they took some of the grains of the prophet and then they began to decorate them and put flowers and make it look like, okay, we are repenting from what our fathers did. But here the prophet of prophets standing with them, yet they could not tell, because every time God is going to do something major in life, it will not come in your package. The only way to understand the things God is doing is to be patient. Because many times when he's strolling, you can't even see where he's going. When he's coming towards your direction, you think he's on another route, he's coming to your house. The only way to be able to see clearly what God is doing in your life or what he wants to do is in patience. He said you will have need of patience after you have done the will of God. You will have need of patience after you have done the will of God. This issue of patience is the singular reason why many of us are not established in God, and then we wonder where you went to. Revelation chapter 2. Give me the Message translation. Verse 1-5. Write this to Ephesus, to the angel of the church. Every deviation starts from the pulpit. Every deviation. I said this some time ago. Give me what's the position of angle 90? Where are the mathematicians? Like this? Huh? Was 45. Like this. I shared this with you guys some time ago. I hope you remember. That point of intersection is where you have zero. Right? Now, when 45 takes off from zero, what is the point of deviation? Between 0 and 1 or 0.0.5? Very little. Right? It still looks like we're on the same journey. But as it takes the journey into 45, it gets wider. Gets wider. Gets wider. We all started from the same place, but hey, it gets wider. It gets wider. All of a sudden, you have this. This is 90. You have this. This is 45. At every point where you are not established in patience, you will not be able to track your progress or your deviations. Initially, it looks like everything is okay, but you are deviating little by little, little by little, little by little, compromises here and there, here and there. Looks like little deviation, but you moved from 90 and started carving out 45. Every decay starts from the pulpit. So God was speaking to the pastor. God will not address you first if you have a pastor. He will talk to your pastor first and say, do you realize that you are directly and fully responsible for what is going on in this sister's life, in this brother's life? He said, how was that my problem? I told them the truth. He said, did you tell them this truth? Did you tell them this truth? Because you can see that she has deviated to 45. Everybody has deviated to 45. You say you're saying the truth. What is the truth if they have deviations? God does not make room for deviations. There must be proper alignment. He said the one with the seven stars in his right fist grip, striding through the golden seven lights circle, he speaks. I see what you have done. Your hard work, your refusal to quit. You see what the doctrine of that pastor was giving them. He taught them to be resilient. He taught them to be stronger. He taught them to be workers in church. He taught them to work hard and make money. He said, I know that you can't stomach evil. He taught them the truth, some type or some levels of truth, that when you see someone that is telling you to fornicate, stone the person. When you see someone that is telling you to my son is not born again, run away from the person. He taught them some level of truth. He taught them discernment. He taught them how to be able to weed out people who claim to be apostles, but they are not. He taught them how to be able to sift through. He taught them persistence. This pastor taught his people persistence. He taught them courage in the cause of the Lord. He taught them to be strong and not pass out of the burden that is being placed on them. But he didn't teach them love. The doctrine of the first commandment is the doctrine of his love. Regardless of how high and how deep you become in God, this is the summation of the matter. How can you, planted in righteousness, in love, become established in the flesh? That's why you have envies. That's why you have strife. That's why someone thinks he's better than somebody, because you can see a vision of prophesy, work miracles. The deacon who loves more in the realm of the spirit is greater than the apostle who loves less. It's not an anointing matter, it's a love matter. Stop celebrating little successes. Thank God for the gifts of the spirit, but can we please talk about love? The proof of your maturity is not in your ability to do spiritual things. It's in your ability to slow down and help the weak. I don't care how much you know. I don't even care how much you can preach or teach or prophesy. I don't want to even hear of it. I want to see how much you can stop. Even though you're on a busy journey or you're in a lane like that Samaritan, to help the man who is dying and say, take care of him and put his charge on me. The poor you will always have amongst you. But what are we going to do with those amongst us who have nothing? Is it just another scripture for you? Or do you think the reason why you've got that stuff in your account is because of the person who doesn't have? What is money? Nothing. He said you walked away from your first love. Why? What's wrong with you? What's going on with you anyway? Do you have an idea, any idea, how far you are falling? Hey, brother, look. These are people that when they go to church and begin to hear the high sounding words of how to press into God, how to enter into the depths of God, how to muscle the anointing and the power of God, how to synchronize and analyze, how to come into the fullness of God, how to gain entrances into the things of God, how mercy is received. And I can stay in the book of Hebrews and begin to teach you the high sounding words. All God was seeing was how the apple fell so far from the tree. What are you doing there? What's wrong with you? I didn't ask you to say all this stuff. Just love someone. And love is not just what you do, it's a posture. It's the way you stand. It's a stature. It's not just what you do, because philanthropists, they give stuff. It's not about giving stuff, it's about a posture. the way you stand before him. 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 That is why you can come boldly. That is the reason why. The angels cannot come boldly. They come with dread. Even in your weakest moment, he said, come boldly. Come as a son. Come as a son. When you come before him, you are coming. Why? Because the ingredient of his heart is the ingredient of your heart. It's love. Anyone that turns away from love has what we call a Lucifer fall. Do you see why Lucifer became who he became? What makes a Lucifer Satan is what you are seeing here. What can turn any gifted man to Satan is what you are looking at here. I imagine that Lucifer in one of his worship meetings, because Lucifer is something, if I had to take a PhD course or thesis, I would probably want it to be on Lucifer, because it's quite a research, you know, it's quite a research. It's quite a research that God would build an angelic being differently, such that he mirrors his son. And he was a ruler. He was not just a worship leader, he was a ruler. He ruled the known, what you probably know as the earth back then. Because he said, I will ascend. So there was a height he saw God that he had not attained, or God hid from him. Because scripture says he hides himself in light. So every time he worshipped God, he gained entrances into the throne. He saw into the testament of God. Scripture says, for that was pure from the day that was made. God never designated any of his beings that way. Say, you are pure from the day that was made. There was a day he was made. There was a day he discovered himself, that he had capacity to spread his wings and accommodate God's glory. Every other angel, they will use two wings to cover their face. They would dare not look at him. But when Lucifer comes on the scene, he spreads the wings and accommodates it. Then he plays with it. He dances around it. Then he spreads it into the space. And the earth and every known world becomes filled with the glory of the Lord. He was not just any kind of angel. He could accommodate God. He could accommodate God and shield the heavens from being destroyed by the blazing fires and glories that came from his being. Because when they worship, the whole heavens will be filled with the glory of God. So he could accommodate it and reduce the intensity so that what is left can spread into the known worlds. In relating with that glory, he began to understand certain things. He began to see God's weakness. That God was so powerful, but he would not show it. That God could be in the same spot with you and just be a regular guy. God was not in a bid to show you what he knew or what he could do or what he had. So God would probably just want to relate to you as a regular person. And he saw that as a weakness. If I had half this power, every time you are looking at at God and you are looking at the throne, and all you can see is how you can muzzle the strength of God for vain and gain advantage, to gain advantage over the people of God. Every time you look at him and you think you have found something others have not found, every time you behold him and all you can see is how you can press in deeper so that you can be the leader of the people. Lucifer is about to be born. Lucifer is about to be born. The greatest unveiling of God to any man is his love. Say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but find eternal life in his heart. Is that why you came? To have fellowship with my heart? Is it that simple? that simple. How about taking the whole earth and making compel everyone to listen to you? Why? I have fellowship with myself. I am not alone. I have never been lonely. The opportunity I gave to mankind was so that they can come into our fellowship, so that they can become the fourth man in the company. Because Lucifer was not perfected in the love of God, he became Satan. Being perfected in the love of God, many times has nothing to do with having feelings and emotions. Because we've got to separate love from the concept of emotions. That is the lowest form of love. When God mentions love, he thinks of obedience and alignment. When God speaks of love, he speaks of a capture or a gaze or perspective, accurate perspective. Sir, it's not enough to be innocent, you must be accurate, because you can be innocently wrong. But if you are accurate, you see clearly and you gain perspective, you can tell that yes, even though this is what I need to do, but what I actually need to do is break up from this guy, because you are seeing not just innocently but accurately. When you are going to the cross, it is okay to be innocent, led like a sheep with led to the slaughter, but when you are standing toe to toe with the devil and your destiny beckons to you, it is not enough to be innocent. You've got to be accurate. Just imagine the surgeon that makes a mistake and cuts the wrong side in your body. How did Lucifer fall out of love? In his thoughts. It happens before it ever happens. You've got you must put a good grasp on your thought. It says, put a garrison command over your heart, for out of it are what? The issues, flows, everything that pertains to your life. Keep a watch over it. The easiest person to lose grip is a believer. We must trust God for an entrance into his heart. We must trust him for entrance. That every time we can no longer behold him, let that be a signal for us to check where we are standing. That you will ask the Lord that you will not be so full of yourself and not be so caught up in yourself. Many times we are not caught up in the wrong thing, we are caught up with his work. So you've got to be very careful that this journey is one in patience, not in much activity but in patience, not in much activity but in patience, not in much activity but in patience. That God, every time, let your presence withdraw from me. Every time I begin to deviate, let me not be able to lay a hold on it. Those are dangerous prayers. You've got to pray, let your presence not lie to me. Let me not be like Samson, who experienced God's presence yet was deviating. Let me not be, oh my God, let me not be like Philip, who was standing in front of Jesus and was still saying, show me the Father. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. You're a good, good Father.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
That's
who you are,
and I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
Who you are.
It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you.
I'm loved by you. am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
When you find yourself in those spots and in those seasons where the goodness of God seems to be taken away from you, all you can see are those things that are not working. You need to be able to find a song in your heart that you can say, your faithfulness is still standing with me. And you can say, you are a good, good father. You're a good, good father. I know I fell, but you're a good, good father. You didn't cast me off. You love me. You're going to help me get back up. And we're going to move on. The love of God must be so established in you that when you come to that point, his song will be with you in the night season. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father.
It's who you are.
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 And I'm loved. Of your ways, yes, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. Thank you, Lord.
Perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways.
John chapter 21. John chapter 21. King James. After these things, Jesus showed, and you begin to look at that. What are these things? Before now, Peter had denied the Lord and was living with a lot of guilt in his heart. He had disappointed God. He had told God, for instance, that he was going out of that relationship and went back right there and had sex with the guy. He had told God that I'm out of this. He deleted his number, and then all of a sudden you are back to what you said you left. He was. You don't know what it means to disappoint God. I know you just gave your life Christ and then stopped smoking immediately, but I didn't come for you this morning. I came for people who said they would not, and then they fell again. It is he that is forgiving much that loves much. Don't ever be the instrument of judgment to your brother. I don't care what he or she did, cover him. Because behind every fall is Lucifer waiting to take the body of Moses. Behind every fall, you can rebuke, close the door between two of yourselves and two of you, and speak to the person. Don't let the enemy take your brother away. We've lost too many already. Oh, you found him smoking, and so what? You've got your own sin, you've got your own idol. Can we please talk about you? Can you please just let the brother be? And it's not smoking, it's not putting the cigarette in your mouth. You can walk away if you can't stand it. Can you just give us some space and let somebody with a really ministry attend to this man? This is not about justifying sin. This is about help. Get out of the space. Please get out of the space. I understand you are so holy, but please, can we allow somebody who has ever struggled talk to him? I know you are so perfect and you are born on the altar. You got born again on the altar. You gave your life to Christ on the altar. Your father is a pastor. And I know that your mother is a pastor. And I know your father was not just a pastor but a prophet. And I know that you got married on the altar. You started your first job on the altar. You had your wife had her first baby on the altar because it was on a Sunday morning. And I know your life is always all together because you are always on the altar. Sir, you can't help me. And this one who's been lost. And this one who didn't know what to do. I need someone who knew what it meant that after you prayed for money and still money didn't come. I need someone who knows how to cry. When you get right to that spot and you are so frustrated and you don't know what to do, and it seems that every revelation you've ever believed was just revelation. You're standing right there looking into your wife's face and you can't tell her where the next meal is going to come out from. When you are looking into the eyes of this beautiful, handsome young man, and you look at the word beautiful and handsome together, and you are about to say, I do, but because of your faith in Christ, you have to let him go. The guy is not all that bad. He goes to church. He's just not saved. We'll save him on the way. Amen? It's okay. You have not taken decisions that made you weep. That's why you don't understand. You know, if you are dealing with the devil, you know it's the devil we are dealing with. But when you are dealing with something that is good but not perfect, good or perfect, that's a different matter. Because the guy is not totally bad. The guy is actually okay. And then God watched you cry. Say, tell him, you're going to tell him yourself. Tell him you are out. And then he watched you do it. And then you cried. And the guy can't understand. He just told me it's over. You are crying. What's the problem? You won't understand. Just get up. God watched you do it. And left you for 3 days to cry yourself out. Then he came to you and said, I'm a good, good father. Oh, he said, God, you sing? Oh, yeah, I came for you. Are you done? Oh, and I'm loved, but you are still going to love me whichever way, brother.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Many times we don't know how much God loves us. That many times he weeps over us, sir. He weeps over us because he knows what you are going through. But if he doesn't let you go through it, you won't be better. So he watches you and cries with you. Like when he got to the tomb of Lazarus, he knew what he was going to do. But he allowed his emotion take over him for those few moments. And he wept. Don't be pastored by somebody who can't weep. Don't be pastored. Don't follow a man who can't cry. A man who seems to have it all together. Big men also cry. Don't hang out with people who are afraid to say that, I think I lost control, I'm giving up, I don't know what to do. Because it is when you vocalize your heart that you can receive love. Many times we just try to be strong and say it is well. Brother, it's not well. You might start by being honest. Let's start from being honest. So when after these things, that's just what I was trying to describe to you. You know, Peter, Jesus showed himself again. And again and again and again and again and again and again. Just when you've just thought that you've done the messiest thing. He shows himself. You didn't call him. He sent someone to you. That was him. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. Oh. And this was, he showed himself to the disciples again on this, by the Sea of Tiberias. And you see, the issue here was not that they were at the sea. The issue was that the man who took them to the sea was trying to deal with his guilt of having failed God. You see, the thing with Peter was that he was very handy with his hand. Any small push, his hand goes for the sword and he strikes. But he watched himself look into the face of Christ and say, I never knew him. It was the same Peter that Jesus said to come on the waters and join me. And he joined him and he walked on waters. He was the only one who did it. And when he began to sing, Jesus, everybody heard when Jesus said, come on the waters. But not everybody heard when Jesus said, why did you doubt? Because when he grabbed him, why? John didn't hear that one. It was a personal instruction to the one who obeyed. If you don't doubt, you can walk on water. Why did you doubt? You took your eyes off me and began to sink. Every time you take your eyes off faith, you begin to sink. So this was the stage that Peter had found himself again. Because not just once, but twice. And you slept with him and slept with him and slept with him. So it wasn't just like I don't know him, I've never heard of him. It's your sin. That's your sin. And you know, we love our sin. You agree with me? We love our sin. We love our vanity. Talking to a lady, she said, "Pastor, I'm not saying I want to commit sin. I'm saying I want to have sex because I'm choking and I'm going to die because I don't know what to do with myself anymore. I am choking. I'm not looking for sin. I just need to get this burden off me." When you get to that point, where it's not sin, but you need to breathe some fresh air, then you understand what it means to do the same sin again and again and again and again till you get tired asking for forgiveness and then decide to go back to your former business. So that was where Peter was when Jesus showed himself again. That was the first place Jesus met him, by the sheep. So he came back again. "Who sent you here?" They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas. You see, you always, when you decide to deviate, you go with those who don't believe. Nathaniel, same category. "How did you know my name?" Say, "Because I told you your name, you're now surprised." One of the ways you will know, check your company. All of a sudden, you feel like checking on chooks. All of a sudden, you just felt like coming. I said, "It's been a while. Let's just hang out." You are not hanging out. You are at the Sea of Tiberias. You are at the Sea of Tiberias, and you are about to sink because your effort will produce no result. Hey, brother, you better watch it, man. Look at that company. It's not Old Boys Association. You are at Tiberias. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." What do you expect when we are all backsliding? You go with D. Let's go and fish. It's been a while. But you see, why Peter wanted to go was different from why they want. They followed because Peter said he was going. Everybody was trying to deal with his emptiness. So the moment somebody had a great idea, he just called up Pastor. "But sorry, you've been using my ship for like 3 years. I just need to take a swim. Can I have my ship?" I say, "Fine." And then just because everything was working out towards this great idea, you think it is God. But hey, the devil also has what is called the perfect will. And they entered into the ship immediately. Can you see how quick it is in the enterprise of darkness? How quick? "Well, do it now, do it now, do it now." It's so quick. But when God says, "My son," there you go again. You rationalize when God talks. When the devil speaks, you are not stable until you... Someone said, "We are waiting for you to fall." So we are not going to fall. We are not going to fall. It's not because we are strong, but underneath are the everlasting arms. That's the reason why we are going to stand. And in case we fall, here, the righteous man has capacity to fall and to rise 7 times. Not everyone has the capacity to rise. Some people fall and they fall permanently. He said that night they caught how many things? That's what they caught, nothing. So they thought they had to try harder. But when the morning was come, and there's always a morning time. The night time is symbolic of when there's darkness, no illumination, no revelation. You pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and yet you're not really getting the kind of results you want. My brother, when you find yourself in the night season, stay there on your knees. Those are your moments of weeping. Those are the moments where you feel no one understands you. Those are even the moments you feel when your pastor doesn't understand you. It's okay. It's night. It's night. But in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. And I want you to notice this story. Jesus stood on the shore. It's as if he knew they were there. But disciples did not know at what point did Peter get to that level in his life that he slept with someone for 3.5 years. And all of a sudden, he's standing where you've always known him. And you don't know him. At what point is that deviation? Where God is standing in front of you.
Yet you are seeing something else. In fact, you begin to think it's the devil talking to you. Because now you are so far, your angle of deviation is already at 45. And you can't even sense. Your senses are spiritually dull. Because you've deviated from the presence of God for so long. That even when God sends someone to you, you get into an argumentative mood. You get into a defensive mood. It is when did we get to that point in church where we begin to hide from each other? Someone is not made perfect in love. Every time you are not perfect, made perfect in love, you hide. You try to defend. What is wrong in me being open and telling you this is how I feel? And they say, Pastor, is it okay if I pray with you? Say, why not? The pastor is supposed to be up there. What is there? What is that thing called there? At the very best, we are brothers. That's why it's called Philadelphia. Let brotherly love continue. Next verse. Jesus came unto him. See what he called them. See what he called them. Children. The man that led that team to go and play the ball as was married before Jesus called him. Oh, he didn't know. He didn't know Peter had a wife. Peter was not a small boy. When God called him, that follow me. There was a time they were preaching. They stopped over at Peter's house. And the wife was sick. Peter is not a small boy. He has a company. A registered company. He's not... Don't get to that point where your pastor can't call you a child. The people God set over you. All of a sudden, Peter... Sorry, Jesus, 1 minute. I'm not your mate now. Just look at me like this. You say I'm a child. No, I appreciate you. I love you, but please. So much more respect. Say, you know, if you keep doing like this, nobody will stay around you. Just look as you say, stupid. Snake. You brood of viper. Whoa. These are not godly language. You are a pastor. Stop using ungodly language. Children. And what is synonymous with children? Food. Have you anything to eat? Every time your conversations will go, always circle around food, your provision. You can tell your level. Stop praying. Hey, Lord. Slow. Check your meditations. Check the things that bother you the most. You know your level. When you get to level of sonship, God doesn't discuss food with you again. Inheritance. See, they even answer though. Say, children, have you anything to eat? They say, no. The answer is yesterday. Do you know why it was easy for them to answer? If they are knowing it was Jesus, they won't answer. Say, hallelujah, man of God. We bless God. We just came to have some time out, a retreat, to seek your face. Amen. Oh, bless God. Thank you for your presence here. They didn't know, so they were honest. And he said to them, okay, since we are talking about food, cast your net where? That means you're on the wrong side. You are looking at the wrong places. Since we are talking about food, I want to help your faith. Your need is not the issue. It's not your need. You see that thing you eat, you will still purge. But for the sake of our lesson, today's course outline, cast the net to the right side. They did. What did they find? More than enough. That was where the same spot they stayed there an entire night. Your provision is in your instruction. Your provision is not in your business, it's in your instruction. Whatever put in your hand. Let God find a reason to need you alive. Don't be economically useless to God. Don't be what? Economically useless. I say your provision is where? In your instruction. See the same spot. Well, somebody will come out and say, yeah, based on the meteorological analysis we have here, okay. All the fishes have gone below. From what we are looking at here, maybe in like 45 days, we are going to have a shift in the climatic conditions, and then some of them will come up, will begin to come up. So this is an advice to all farmers and all fishermen that for now it may not be advisable to plant or to fish, because why are you drinking all that your pepper water? God is just looking at you that your suffering has just begun. Look at, is that the last verse? Go back to the last verse. I need to be sure. Okay, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Now, did you see the word they were not able to draw? It was too heavy. That's what it meant. It was very heavy. Go to the next verse. Now, I want to show you something. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus what? Said to Peter. You see, you are reading that thing too fast. You need to capture the emotions. Oh boy. Yeah. Guy. Do you know who we have been talking to? Love opens your eyes in the spirit. It was the one who Jesus loved. The one that was always listening to his heartbeat. The one that inquires in the temple. That was able to gain entrance into who was actually standing in front of them. They didn't know. It was not Peter's fault. Love will give you entrance into the throne, into the things of God. You will see things in their true state. You will realize that the person you're actually mad at doesn't even, just somebody. Forget it. You can't drink poison and expect another person to die. That's what you do when you choose to keep malice. Come on, get off it. Get off it. You are higher than that. Your level of being is higher than malice. Yeah, I want to just tell you how I feel right now. How do you feel? What are you going to accept that you're upset? Is that all? Sorry. Now, this guy said, it is the Lord. The moment Peter heard, it is the Lord, his senses came to him. He threw away the fish, threw away the boat. You see that many times when we look at people who are so engrossed in what they do in your offices, they are searching for something. I don't take my job carelessly. I do my work. I don't like lazy people around me. Trying to engage their emotions to block it from that feeling of void that is deep there, staring at them. There are people who stay in church, sir. They stay in church, even pastors. They do God's work, but the void is there. Because for them, it's just another administrative job. Say, Lord, can you give me a message for Sunday? Do it quick, oh. Because I'm not even finding this any fulfillment. Look at the response of Peter. You will now know that all that fishing he was doing overnight, he was just trying to kill the frustration that was inside. And that's why if there's any prayer we're going to pray today, that God, give me an entrance into where you are standing in front of me, so that I can refocus. He removed his fish. The ministry he just started, the new one, he threw away the coat. He became naked. Okay, he got his fisher's coat around onto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. He didn't wait to pad. He just entered the waters and was swimming. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Go ahead. Look at that. God blessed them. They were on that water. He gave them fish they could not handle. But when they got to the land, he already had his own fish. Counterfeit, Abby. This, what happened here, is the same way he put money inside the fish, into the belly of the fish. Jesus was standing there. Did he have fish in his hand? He told them, okay, since we are talking about what you will eat, put your net on the right side. They did. Did they find fish? Okay, come, I'm waiting for you. When they got there, he had started a fire and fish was laid thereon. You see that one you people just gather, you can return it to the water. That's what he's telling you. I just wanted to show you that it's not that thing you are looking at. Because you already thought it's a testimony. When he spoke to us, cast your net to the right side. We did instantly. Hallelujah. Instantly. It's not a testimony if it's in disobedience. It's not a result we are talking about. We are talking about outcome. You can have a good result, but bad outcome. Good result is that Moses struck the rock,
yes, sir,
but he lost his priesthood.
Yes,
don't let people push you into what is not in your destiny, in your destiny. Don't get into that mode where you have to prove anything to anybody.
Yes,
in the name of, you are a man of God. So
yes,
what? Shut up. Sit down.
Yes,
next verse. So Jesus now said to them, bring some of that your fish that you caught. You see, he said that you caught. So Peter went up, drew the net to the land full of fish, 153. That's what they got. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Supernaturally. Don't worry. Next verse. Just said unto them, come and eat. He didn't take their own, it's his own. None of the disciples dare ask him. You know, when you have deviated, you just mellow. Let's not ask any stupid question. Just knowing that it was the Lord. Next verse. Quickly. Jesus then come and take the bread and give them the oak and the fish likewise. Just the way he would have done before he died. Go ahead. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Go ahead. And when they are dying, a real discussion now started. Because what we want to discuss, you need to eat. Here you enjoy the fish,
yes,
and the meat and the bread. Okay, any, you want water? Okay, can we talk now? Say yes, sir. One question. Peter, do you love me more than bread? At what point will my relationship with you become defined by what is accessible or available to you? Because where we are going is far. You will die ultimately for me. You will be crucified for me. Some of your brothers will be beheaded. I need to know at what point will your faith begin to fail. Because I need you to lead a pack. I know your business is doing well, but what if it starts doing badly? At what point? Can we please have a brother-to-brother discussion? Because I need to decide who the next leader is. Do you love me more than this? That this, speaking of bread, provision. He said, Lord, you know that I love thee. And Jesus responded, feed my lambs. What are lambs? What are lambs? What are lambs? Baby. They are the baby sheep, right? Give attention to those small things. Your ministry is not in those big things. Give attention to the weak. Give attention to those who are trying to get up. Be patient with them. Don't judge them. They will follow many times. They will not give you prophet offering. Don't worry. Give attention to what? The weak amongst you. Feed them. See, don't send anybody to do it. Do it yourself. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. What changed? Take care of the matured ones amongst you. Feed them the true word. Don't give milk to someone who is matured. Give him strong meat. Find wisdom to know what to say to someone. Sometimes you are sitting with someone who is going through a lot of stuff, and the only thing you can do is just be silent. Don't be too quick to quote scripture. Do you know what you have done? Do you know when you sleep with another man, you have joined your body to idols? When someone falls, see, they know the Bible. Leave that thing. Somebody is broken. If someone is just going through a divorce, hallelujah. You see, this is the story of, and I need to round off now. This is the story of Peter's restoration. This is the head of the church, according to Catholic Church. This is the head of the church. He started his ministry falling. So if Peter, why not you? We've got to be patient with each other. We have to help each other. Are you hearing me? We have to help each other. If someone asks you for 100 naira and you have, give according to the proportion of your faith. Don't try to be a star. I give you 100 naira and then complain later. If the proportion of faith you have is 20 naira, tell him I have 100 naira but I can only afford 20. Is he okay? Say, take. And if you don't have, be honest enough, say I don't have. Why should I be afraid to tell you I don't have? But have you felt it before? Have you felt it before? Someone asked for stuff. To even say you don't have, person you think you are lying. And say, give me some time, give me some time. You just try and see what you can do. Not to crush his or her faith. Why should I have to even lie to you? Because we are not perfected in love. If miracles could win the world, the whole world would have come to Jesus. Think about it. I said if miracles could win the world, they would not have crucified him. With all the miracles going on in Ikeja, and you know where I'm talking about, and at the redemption camp, MFM camp, and all the camps and embassies, there is no way we have one unsaved soul left. God didn't commit salvation to miracles. He committed it to his love. If every Christian in the north walked in love, how many Muslims would there be left? Because the Muslim is taught from the onset, Muhammad did not perform any miracles. Don't expect. Let's make it easy for you. Whatever happens to you is the will of God. So don't ask me question. It's the will of God. Are you back online? I need to do this quickly. So God said to him, don't just take care of the young ones, take care of the old ones. Waiting. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because he knew him not. How did God declare us to be sons? By love. Back to my scripture. Go ahead. You're back. I think it should be verse 9 now if I'm not. Okay, go to 17. He said to him a third time, lovest thou me? You see, the issue of this third love, Peter began to get the impression that God didn't believe him. So he was upset. He felt grieved. When you think you have done so much for the kingdom and God is still asking you the same question.
When you think you left your boyfriend to follow Jesus, the boyfriend that would have bought you the Escalade, that was about to take your passport and get you Dubai visa and 2 years American visa, and you say, please hold on, I can't continue. For Christ's sake, if we are going to Dubai and we visit all the stores, we will not sleep that night. Abi, it's payback time. It's common sense. Say, ah, no, I'm a Christian. What am I? Look, this is Dubai, not Jerusalem. Shine your eye. Oh, you love the bling, 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 bling. Some of us, God just decided that whether you like it or not, you must be born again. You're a terror to the kingdom of God. Say about me, what? About me. Born, tie him hand and leg. Bring him, whether he likes or not. You are now born again. Yeah. Take Bible, be preaching. Dangerous men walking. Some of you, but for Jesus in your life, you would have brought down every man of God on earth. And you know yourself, amen. Those of you, the ladies that say amen, you're the one I'm talking about. I'm joking. So he had gotten to a point where God was stretching him to see the true intent of his heart. Now, many times it's easy to say yes because it's just a question. When I ask you again, and I ask you again, I think, ah, boy, what now? You died, you came back. You are now terrorizing us with questions. Same one question. It's not even three, one. And the 3 times he met 3 different things. Look at why Jesus was asking him. Next verse. See, because I'm saying to you, you are young, you guard yourself, you walk wherever you want, very soon you'll be old. You will stretch forth your hand and another will guide you. You can do what you like now, and you share it as a testimony of God's love. When you stretch your hands, the sick are healed. When you lay your hands, the dead rise. You can do stuff in God. By the time we come, the proof of your sonship will be chains. You will pray and God will say, that's the prison, right? Just walk, I'll be there, I'm waiting for you in there. Just come along. Then you will learn how to do, on the silence, they pray, the Holy Ghost came down. And if you are lucky, you may have a brother with you who is there, so you do it together. They were not praying to have God deliver them. They were praying because it was their time of prayer. That's how they pray normally. It just happened that day they were in prison. Don't stop your godly habit simply because things are not working. It's not that stuff happens to you doesn't mean God left you. It's perspective. We will pray. See, when you get to that point, you say, Satan, anyhow, no food, convert it to fasting. And it's on gas strike. Thank you. They may hear me. I understand. Don't worry. You know, you, your revelation is different. We, there's only Gary at home. My children will eat. But me, I convert it to fasting. Have you used Gary to break fast before? Gary. I didn't say about Gary. Say you will be carried about to where you don't know, where you don't want to go. Symbolic of a state of maturity, where you are led by the Spirit. You are no more moved by the impulse and emotions of power and anointing. Next verse. See, this Jesus was speaking because to signify the death that who will die? Peter. God is a coded God. He'll be giving you. And you, it's sounding like revelation. Something to share. Like when I was going to preach somewhere, and then the service is going, the Lord was saying to me, the covenant to death has been abolished. I'm bringing you to a place of priesthood.
And I said, where is that place? This is what I'm going to share at the vigil. I didn't know it was a literal revelation. I thought it was a revelation to share. When I share this one now, they will know. I will give it to them like this and give it to them like this. Before the vigil day, they were trying to bundle me into the hospital. Doctor said hepatitis. What is that? Say there's A, there is B. I think there's even there. So I now ask, which one is the dangerous one? I was now wishing, because I had all the signs of hepatitis, but they didn't see it in my system. That one now is a different. At least we know it's A or B. We cannot call pastors that, sir, they say it's B. Be praying. So if I call someone now, what do I say is wrong with me? All the symptoms, but it's not in your system. It was when I started thinking that, okay, fine, it's okay, let's die and go. And God came and said, I said to you that your covenant with death has been abolished. I said, oh, was that what this was about? Yeah. So it's not time. And when he was just spoken to him, Jesus ended that conversation with one word. In this death, in this path I'm about to take you through, follow me. There's nothing like follow up in the Bible. Say, follow me. Just make sure I'm always in front of you. Because of what is going on, just make sure you can see me. Just make sure you can see me. It may just be a faint picture, but just make sure you can see it. Don't be discouraged. Don't let discouragement cloud your vision. Don't let hatred cloud your vision. Don't let what is not happening, the job you didn't get, the husband you didn't get, the opportunities you lost, don't let it cloud your vision. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Next verse. This one is the height of foolishness. At least I've known my life purpose. Sir, what about Brother John? You know, he was the one that, when I backslided, he was the one that was guiding me. How about him? Oh, what's here the Spirit of God? Can you please be humble enough that God wants to talk to you about you? Oh, I sense in my spirit, sister, that the Lord is saying to me concerning you. Hey, slow down. Can you please hear for yourself? Can you just be, try not to be too quick? This doesn't mean God doesn't send people to other people. I'm just saying, can we just focus on you for now? He said, sir, did you run away? What? So then Peter talking about seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, which also said, Lord, which is, and said, Lord, which is it that betrayed thee? That was describing, go ahead. What happened just before Jesus crucified? He said, Peter said to seeing him, said to Jesus, what shall this man do? Go on. Jesus said, Peter, okay, if I decide that this man will not die till I come back, how is that your business? Spiritual distractions masked up with seemingly genuine intentions of prophecy and seekings of the Lord. So leave that one. You, I would rather speak about you, because they are going to crucify you like this and like this, turn you upside down and stab you. It's not a good place to be. Leave that one. Now, oil. You, follow me. Stop trying to define your pace with other people. You, follow me. Someone might be walking with me yesterday, may not be walking with me today. But you,
follow me.
The only way you will understand that scripture is to understand the word, that the word follow and the word love is the same thing. It's not about the assignment. It's a love work. Today I want to challenge you. Let 2017 not be that year where you keep things in your pocket while others are suffering. Are you hearing me? We must respond in love as much as God gives us grace. Are you hearing me? Not because we want to prove anything, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by Christ Jesus. We are not the generation of them that draw back. Don't draw back to perdition. Use your pain to save others. You don't have a child? Pray for others to get theirs. When you hear one of them has given birth, rush there. Serve them. Help them. Bless that child. My pastor, Pastor Ayo, for almost 10 years, didn't have a child. He tried to get a child in so many ways. He did this speaking in tongues. You know, when you have your doors locked, you are probably in some cloud nine. He did it in the spirit. He did everything. He went to a prophet. The prophet said, didn't you know that your wife never have a child? She be a prophet. The prophet was seeing Pastor Ayo for the first time and was prophesying to Pastor Ayo that, but you are a prophet, you should know this woman will never have a child. We see in part. I say we see in part. Pastor Ayo told them, don't, I know they go up and down. Make una leave me for my, I say, Pastor Ayo, let's listen to another prophet. We know in part. Somebody else might see something else. Yes, that is true. But by the time they came out of the pastor's office, Pastor, see, I told you people, leave me in my house. You know, when you get to a level in your ministry where even your brethren are now concerned about you, Pastor, you are our pastor, but let's go and look for another pastor to help you, help us check this. Pastor Ayo said he was in his house. He had a vision and he saw an angel walked into his house with a baby boy. Hey! He just carried his phone, called his wife. I think she was in the US. Where are thou? Say, my flight is due tomorrow. Hey! Come now. Come now. Forget that tomorrow. He said, it will cost me a lot. Hey! Kamal. As I'm talking to you, this angel is still with me. Rush to. You may think it's a joke, but when you've paid for your ticket, you know these things are a bit complicated. Rush down. Say he was the one who went to pick her at the airport himself. Drove into an hotel. We are not going home today. Before the angel, before time runs out, let's check into an hotel. That's how they got their first son. You must be so persuaded of God's love more than anything. That God loves you to pieces. That all this while is because he has great hope in you. That you will not always be this way. That tomorrow will be a better day. And I'm loved by you. Is who you are, is who I am. You're a good, good father. Is who you are, is who you are. And I'm loved by you.
Is
who I am, is who I am. Oh, you're a good, good heart. I pray for you this morning that the Lord will take from you the love of things. That there will be nothing in your hands that you cannot give to another man. That God will find you a worthy custodian of his resources. That you be a storehouse for him. Some of you, God will cause you to begin to walk in love in the midst of lack. I receive grace for you. God will have you do certain things that will stretch you. But you'll be able to do it because of your love for him. In the name of Jesus. I declare that you'll be persuaded of his love. In the name of Jesus. That you will grow in love. Till you grow fully into God. In the name of Jesus. That there will be nothing in your hand that you cannot give to God. That there will be nothing in your hand that you cannot give to another man. That at the instance of the Lord, you will always be a blessing. In the name of Jesus. We'll come against every spirit of greed. We'll come against every spirit of hatred. We'll come against every spirit that seeks to hold more than it is necessary. And we'll release into the hearts of everyone here the capacity for love. That just as he loved us, we can love others. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord. Come on, do it better if you can. Father God, thank you.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website, www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling, 080-8317-8191. God bless you.